Well, we are in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Again, if you're new, we're making our way through the Gospel of Matthew. If you're new to Calvary Chapels, we teach verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, because we are convinced that it's the Word of God that transforms lives. So this morning, again, we are in Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing one of five of Jesus's sermons. This one is called the Sermon on the Mount. Many of you are familiar with the Beatitudes. We covered that a few weeks ago. Now we are moving into chapter 6. One thing that is often left out of the gospel, think about this for a moment. When you think about the gospel, what comes to mind? Good news. That's literally what that Greek word means. It's a proclamation. It's not good advice, like we said last week, or good ideas. It is good news. And it's good news about what? Salvation through Jesus Christ. One thing we often leave out, though, that is central to the good news is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We read in Matthew 4:23 that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He proclaimed that there was a new kingdom coming, and this new kingdom is nothing like all the kingdoms of this earth that have risen and fallen throughout human history. This is a new kingdom, a better kingdom, and it has a new king, and this king is nothing like the kings that came before him. And what we've learned in chapter 5 is, yes, it's a new kingdom with a new king, but it's also made up of citizens, men and women who have placed their trust in King Jesus. And these citizens become nothing like the citizens of this world. They are new creations. New creations in which the old has passed away. And behold, all things are new. We've been learning not what it means simply to behave like a Christian. Jesus has told us, you are the light of the world. You are the salt. You are a city set on a hill, and a city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. This isn't good advice on how to live. This is a proclamation of what the kingdom of God looks like. And the good news about it is it's nothing like the culture we live in today. The greed, the hatred, the division, the confusion, the chaos, the broken homes that many of us grow up in, the addiction that many of us have battled, the lies, the dishonesty. It's nothing like this world. That's why we have to, when we think of the gospel, always remember, yes, Jesus has saved us from our sin. We are alive in him, but we are looking forward to that new kingdom that is at hand. There's urgency. So, Christian, you are the salt of the earth. You stand against the decay that exists in this world. You preserve, you flavor. You are the light of the world. You reveal reality. You help guide. You expose. You give hope because the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. Not try to be. No, this is who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what you must do. And then Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He goes on to say, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. So he says, do not conceal your citizenship. You are in the world still and not of the world, so that you can bear witness to the person of Jesus Christ and the hope that you have found. But then we enter into Matthew chapter 6. Now remember, we added the chapter breaks. Jesus is just continuing his Sermon on the Mount. The disciples are listening to him. He has told them, you're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. Your responsibility is to bear God's image to an unbelieving world so they imperfectly see who God is. Let your good works shine before men so that they see your good works, they glorify your Father in heaven. And then look what he says in Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. Wait a second. Jesus just got done telling us to let our good works shine before men. And then he says in chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. I mean, this is just fodder for those who say the Bible contradicts itself. In the same breath, Jesus seems to be talking out of both sides of his mouth. What could he possibly mean by this? He's talking about freedom. Freedom. As a follower of Jesus this morning, would you say that you're free? Do you feel free? Some of you proudly say yes, and praise God for that. Some of you are in the bondage of public opinion. Some of you feel the weight of concern of what others think of you. Jesus is setting you free of that. In these words here in chapter 6, let me read these to you. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Guys, we live in a day and age where if it wasn't captured on video, did it really even happen? Right? Everybody is recording everything and posting it online. Concerts with cell phones, hiking with cell phones, theme parks with cell phones. Everything is being recorded. Why? It's for the sharing. The sharing and the posting and the follows and the likes have become more rewarding than the experience itself. Being seen, having an audience, getting that audience's approval. Many have become addicted to that. And guys, religious communities are not immune to this. And it's not something new that just came about with the invention of the cell phone. Jesus is addressing specifically that thing that lives inside of us that deeply desires the approval of others. And it exists within the church. It's not just outside of these doors. We struggle with that every single day. Do we live for God or do we live for the approval of others? Jesus says, don't do what you do for men. Don't give so that you may be seen by them. When you pray, don't sound a trumpet and stand in the middle of the street and make a performance out of your prayers. But how do we balance this with what Jesus taught us in chapter 5? Aren't our good works supposed to be done before men so that they can see Jesus in us? How do we balance that out? How do we make sense of this and what Jesus has said? Understand that he's talking about motive. He is talking about why we do what we do and for whose glory we do it. Whose story are we trying to tell? Is it see us, see what I'm doing? Or is it see my good works and see Jesus through them? Why do I do what I do? Do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Do not do the things you do for the glory of men. Now, Jesus is assuming something. One, that we are giving, that we live generous lifestyles, that we are praying, that we are devoted to God. But the question he asks, who are you doing it for? See, the problem with the evangelical church today is we have built entire systems, churches and conferences and platforms and social media ministries, and they're centered around not giving God the glory, but being seen by men. We go into those things asking the question, what is it that the people want to see? There are many church leadership teams sitting around a table asking, what will fill the seats? What do the people want to hear? What do they want to experience? What will bring in the crowds? Instead of asking, what will glorify God? It's become a performative faith. And we're doing what we do for the approval of others. And how do we gauge success? How does the church gauge success today? Do they gauge it by the fruit of the Spirit? Do they ask, am I seeing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control in the body of Christ? Or do they gauge it by how many people are sitting in these seats? How many services do we have? How often do we plant a new church because the numbers are growing? Don't get me wrong. We want to see the kingdom of God grow, and not every mega church is doing things wrong, but we have to stop and ask, why do we do what we do? Is it for the applause? Is it for the followers? Is it for the attention? Is it for the pats on the back? Is it for the affirmation? What does Jesus say? If you do it for all these things, you have your reward. If you're doing it for the approval of man, for the glory of man, to be seen by man, guess what? You have your reward. And that's it. But again, Jesus says in chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But then what were those good works? Did he get into how to perform well in public? Did he give tips on public speaking? He began to talk about things that kind of happen anonymously, where there's nobody to pat you on the back. He begins talking about personal purity. He starts addressing the bitterness in our hearts. And he said, if you're bitter against a brother or a sister, or you have hatred in your heart, that is the same plant that murder comes from. That is a seed of murder. He says, if you have lust in your heart, that is the seed of adultery. And he talks about cutting those things off at the root. He also talks about reconciliation in relationships. He says, if you come to the altar and you're carrying a burden or a bitterness against a brother, don't worship at the altar. Go and make things right with your brother and then come and worship me. He's concerned about relationships here. One-on-one, personal relationships. Then he speaks on strong, committed marriages. He talks about being honest. He said, don't swear. Don't give oaths. Don't swear on your mother's grave. Just let be a man or a woman. When you say yes, it means yes. And when you say no, it means no. He says, give more than is asked of you. Turn the other cheek when someone offends you. Don't be one who retaliates. Be someone who's generous. Be someone who goes the extra mile. And then he says, love your enemies. He says, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who use you and make your life uniquely difficult. That's what he means by being the light of the world. And there's no fanfare in any of that. When you love your enemy, rarely do they celebrate you for that. In fact, sometimes they'll use you for that. But you know what Jesus is deeply concerned about? Making himself known. Letting people see his character. When you do a charitable deed, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So that your charitable deed may be in secret. Are you comfortable giving to others anonymously? I'm not just talking about financially. Are you comfortable being a blessing to those around you if they don't even know where it came from? Are you comfortable living in anonymity while God gets the glory? Are you comfortable being ignored? Are you comfortable being overlooked? Not by God, but by man. That's what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. We don't touch his glory. You know who wanted God's glory? Satan. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Yes, I want to use you. I want to make myself known through your life, but don't touch the glory. You can't handle it. You weren't created for it. There's no audience for our personal struggle against sin. There's no audience when we tell our flesh no. There's no audience when I'm painfully honest. There's no audience when I do good to those who could care less about me. There is no audience but God, and he says, I will reward you for that. So I have to ask, are you more concerned about appearing faithful or being faithful? The answer to that question, we don't have to wonder. Because Jesus says, if we are more concerned about being faithful than looking faithful, you know where things matter? Behind closed doors, where no one is looking. He says secrecy. That's where we find out who we really are. Do I love the Lord so much that I find myself in the quiet place talking to him, listening to his voice? Or do I like the public prayers where I can pray dramatically and people afterwards are like, man, that was powerful. I wish I could pray like you. In the back of your mind, you know, I definitely don't pray like this at home. In fact, I don't pray at all at home. I just have the gift of public speaking. And I like the pats on the back. That's a dangerous place to be. Our witness begins long before we step into public. It begins when no one is watching. Our witness is shaped behind closed doors in quiet devotion to Jesus Christ. That's what reveals who we really are. That's what reveals what we are really after. And I want to point something out to you before we close and we move on to this awesome celebration. Understand, when we do spiritual things to be seen by others, we strip those spiritual things of everything that they really are supposed to be. What do I mean by that? We want to see the kingdom of God grow. We want to see men and women profess faith in Jesus Christ, have their lives dramatically changed by the power of God. We want to see that, and we want to pray for that. We want to show lives of selfless love so people would understand who Christ is. But understand something. Let me give you an example. Prayer. What is prayer? Someone give me a definition. What is prayer? Communication with God. I love it. Talking with God. That's prayer. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, he tore the veil, and I get to go before the creator of the universe, and we get to talk. And he's listening, scripture says. But what happens when I take that wonderful, amazing reality that I get to commune with God, and I take that and I get up here and I pray, and my mind is on, hey, how is this going to be received by those who hear it? It is no longer prayer anymore. It is now a speech where I get the glory. You have just taken prayer and made it into something else. That's what a heart that says, what do others think of this, does to spiritual things. Changes the definition. Prayer is not prayer if we're concerned about what others are thinking. It is no longer communication with God. It is a speech. Generosity. If I give to others, hoping that there's something in return, even if it's a pat on the back, even if it's a desire for them to see me in a certain light, if I give to others, but I want to make sure my name is attached to that, guess what? That's no longer generosity. That is a contract. I will do my end, you do your end, and if you don't, I'll be disappointed. That is not fundamentally what generosity is. If one lives for man's approval, then man's approval is exactly what you'll get, and no more. But here's Jesus' invitation in just these short 6 verses, and there's freedom. And I beg, if you're a young person, that you get this at a very young age, because if you understand it, it is literally like chains being unlocked and falling to the ground. Jesus is inviting you into a life where when the Father sees, that's all you need. Jesus is inviting you into a life of unglamorous devotion behind closed doors. Good works done in secret, being faithful while remaining anonymous, those are the things that will lead others to see Christ in you. And the kingdom of God does not advance through performance. It doesn't advance through productions. It advances through quiet, simple devotion to the one who has saved our souls from death, who has given us new life, and he has brought us into his kingdom. That's who the Father rewards. That's what we need to see the church returning to. Not this focus on the performance, but a focus on our personal faith.